Hey, yo, Schizo Jits here. UFC 300, Sparta card is finally here. This is Sparta. We're in fight week. The most epic card in history right here. This has got to be the most stacked card from top to bottom. I mean, the early prelims could be better than most of the Apex cards, main events that we've had lately anyway. So, I mean, I'm going to break down all the fights and give my predictions, final predictions. We're starting off with the early prelims. You know, and that's going to be Davison Figueiredo against Cody Garbrandt. Davison's a negative 205 favorite in this fight. Unbelievable fight. I mean, this right, like I said, right here, this is a banger. This could be a main event on any Apex card, fight night, whatever. Even this could be not, this could be on a pay-per-view card on the main event. I mean, this is insane. You got Davison Figueiredo, who's, this is going to be his second fight at bantamweight, former champ at flyweight. Cody Garbrandt, former champ at bantamweight, questionable chin, obviously. So that's going to come into play here. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on Cody Garbrandt because of his chin, because of his issues ever since he got KO'd twice back-to-back by TJ Dillashaw and then a bunch of fights after that. But he won his last fight, looked great, first round knockout back in I believe it was UFC 296 back in December. I was at that fight and he looked great. He looked incredible, fast hands. I mean, he's always been a rounded fighter with explosive hands and power with both hands. Everything he throws was with power, a lot of speed, deep, not as always the most defensively responsible, moving his head, and because he comes in and just kind of do, you know, come straight forward. But this is going to be a huge test right here. Whoever wins this fight is in title contention immediately. Figueiredo made easy work of Rob Font, and he's coming off that win. But this is his second fight at 135. He had a crazy weight cut to get to 125, probably walking around like 160, 170, going all the way down to 125. So he's going to look healthier. His chin might be a little better. Garbrandt, he's like I said before, he's always had the chin issues. He's been a little chinny, but at the same time, he might have that. He's riding that wave of confidence right now to come back, and this is his chance right here. If he wins this fight, I mean, he's right back into contention, and just sky's the limit for him. So what better opportunity for both these fighters, but especially Cody Garbrandt, to get right back in the mix? Because there was one time, I mean, he beat Dominic Cruz that made him look bad. You know, he was in there breakdancing and making a miss and just, you know, kind of figured out Dominic Cruz style. He was the first one to do that when Dom Cruz looked pretty unbeatable with his crazy leg footwork and all that. So Garbrandt's right there. He's always been explosive. And I'm leaning Figueiredo. I want to pick Garbrandt. I'm so close to doing that. Like, I've been back and forth with this because I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on him just because he has been chinny in the past. But Figueiredo, let's not forget, he got dropped by Brandon Moreno as well. And Garbrandt has a wrestling background at first with just explosive fast hands, fast twitch muscles, all that. Great fight instincts, but the thing is, defensively, he does get hit. Figueiredo, like I said, he's more of a sniper, so he don't really throw a lot of volume out there, but everything he throws with is with explosion, with power, and really precise. He's really accurate with his striking. So, I mean, he's got, 22-3 for Figueiredo, 14-5 for Cody. I mean, most of those losses came after the TJ Dillashaw fight. The reach is 68-65.5 in favor of Figueiredo. You know, they're both, Cody's a little taller, though, 5'8", 5'5", to 5'5". That could play a little factor a little bit. I mean, the reach still goes to Figueiredo. And I think the precision definitely goes to Figueiredo, the accuracy, all that. But, and the chin. So, toughness, though, has to also, I think, durability, probably a little Figueiredo's in his side as well. But the explosiveness of Cody Garbrandt could make this an absolute banger or war. It's going to be, this could be a first round blowout or just a first round balls to the wall from both guys. If Cody can make it ugly and just be smart though about it and not just let his hands go like crazy and just, you know, abandon defense. If he could stay on the outside and just pick his shots and explode when he needs to, he can hurt Figueiredo. I mean, he could definitely win this fight. Davison is definitely leveled up as far as his wrestling game. So I don't really see anyone going to the ground in this fight. I mean, Cody has a, I think he had a state championship in high school, and he's been with Team Alpha Male all these years. So obviously wrestling is, grappling is big in that camp. So he definitely has the grappling to do that. But I also feel like Figueiredo just a little bit sharper, a little bit, you know, younger as well. So I just think that he's going to probably land that big shot on Cody. And if it might go a decision. If it goes decision, I'm thinking Figueiredo is probably going to take it. He might get a couple takedowns here and there and mix it up. But if this is just a standing bang, this is actually, this is a pretty even fight, in my opinion. This could go 50-50. Like, I really do want to lean Cody's way just because he has so much explosive power. As far as just pure boxing, I feel like Cody is better. You know, he throws a lot of combos. Everything's explosive. Everything's with power. And, like, both these guys. So, I mean, it's kind of like who lands the bigger shot first and who can actually take, who's more durable. And that's the main, that's the only reason I'm kind of picking Figueiredo is because of durability. Cody's still a little unproven, but if he, as far as the chin wise, if it has recovered fully, if it is, then I mean, if Cody takes this fight, like I said, sky's the limit. He could be right back in contention. You know, he always had the tools, he always had the skills to do it. A lot of time, not the smartest fight IQ. Like, you know, he was winning both fights on, against Dillashaw until he wasn't, until he got caught and he got put out. So lights out. And he's, so he doesn't always have the smartest fight IQ. But, like, against Dom Cruz, if he comes out to fight, if that Cody shows up, I mean, there's not many people in the world that could to compete with him. So, I mean, if that Cody shows up, for sure, Cody, no love, he's got this one. But I'm going to have to go with Davison Figueiredo. I'm thinking second round, maybe TKO or just a decision. You know, I don't – this could go all the way, but I'll, obviously this fight could go either way. A lot of these fights on this card, I mean, I would not put money on most of these fights unless, you know, it's just kind of like a thing where – you know, it's with the heart or you don't really care, you know, because, I mean, you're taking a chance. It's really, a lot of these odds are close, but, I mean, Figueiredo, obviously, he's going to be a favorite just because, you know, just the recency, you know, what he's done. He made Rob fight, look, he made that fight easily. He just destroyed him and ran through him. Cody lost, so it's against Font. So, I mean, it's, and this MMA math doesn't work, but at the same time, it's, This is a matchup that could go either way. This matchup might actually be okay for Cody. Another thing I want to point out is that Davison is kind of a slow starter, so that could give Cody. Cody's not really a slow starter. He comes out, you know, guns blazing, throwing a lot of power every shot. So, I mean, that could definitely play a factor here. If he could just get on and catch Davison early, then, yeah, this could be Cody's night and early, and it could be something explosive that will give him – jump up in the rankings like immediately from that, a big bump. So we'll see. But like I said, this whole card is freaking stacked. I mean, that's just the opening fight. You know, I mean, that's one fight in the early prelims. I mean, that's unbelievable to have that type of fight. I mean, and then now, and that'll bring us to the next fight, Bobby Green versus Jim Miller, which is an insane fight. And this is basically like a pick 'em. It's -10, -10. So, I mean, that's really even as you can get, obviously. So, I mean, they're both up there in age. They both weather. They both freaking have, like, so many damn fights. Look at 37-17 for Jim Miller. That's 54 fights. I mean, that's unbelievable. 31-15-1 for Bobby Green. That's 47. That's pushing 50 fights as well. You know, that's just insane. There's so many fights between these guys, almost basically 100 fights between these guys in UFC, other organizations, what have you, but unbelievable experience that's going into this cage. Bobby Green, a little bit taller, same reach, you know, both have 71 inch reach, 5'10", 5'8". Bobby Green, he is a, I think, a little bigger guy. He cuts a lot of weight to get to 155. And this fight is, you know, Bobby Green just came off, you know, a loss, getting knocked out cold by Jalen Turner. Jim Miller's won a few fights in a row, looking really good, almost like he's turned back the clock and just looking great. And I do think if this fight does hit the ground, that it could favor Jim Miller just because his jiu-jitsu might be a little better than Bobby Green's. But I also feel that Bobby Green has a wrestling advantage. He's not going to be that easy just to take down. I don't think Jim Miller will be able to take him down. I just think if it happens to end up on the ground, maybe Jim Miller will have an advantage there. But on the feet, I know a lot of people are sleeping on Bobby Green just because he got knocked out. But, he was still looking. He's always looks good in almost every fight. It's, you know, he's got caught a few times in the last couple few fights. You know, Jude Dober and then Jalen Turner putting him out cold. He'd never been knocked out like that. He's had time to recover from that. And Jalen Turner is also on this card. So I mean, both these guys, they've had time to recover. And I'm picking Bobby Green. I'm thinking by a decision. Jim Miller is as durable as it gets. I mean, he's not that easy to finish in any way, shape, or form. I don't think Bobby Green finishes him on the ground. If he does, it's a knockout. I mean, I could see Bobby Green, you know, he has his hands down style, constantly throwing. He's a little bit slicker on the feet for sure, slicker on the feet. So I think he might piece Jim Miller up a little bit, bloody him up, bust him up. Jim Miller definitely has a lot of scar tissue, been in so many wars, you know, with Joe Lozon, like so many wars, I can't even name all the freaking wars Jim Miller's been in. They've been in so many crazy wars, but definitely I'm picking Bobby Green by a unanimous decision. I think it's going to go to decision, 3 rounds. It's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be a great fight, chess match, and it's going to stay standing, and I think that's just Bobby Green's world. And, you know, I don't think Jim Miller has the stand-up to land anything clean on Bobby Green. And I'm picking Bobby Green all the way for the win on this one. So, yeah, that's the second fight. That's only the second fight. I mean, that could also be definitely on a main card of any Apex fight night type of card, you know, for sure. You know, I mean, that's a great one. You know, I mean, then we have – that brings us to Andrade. And what are the odds on this one? Pretty sure Andrade is the favorite. I don't even see it on here. The odds not out for this? That's crazy. We'll have to look this one up. But for sure, I mean, we got Andrade with all kinds of experience, 25-12, 17-3-2 for Marina Rodriguez, Rodriguez, however you want to pronounce it. She, you know, Andrade is smaller for this division, for the 115, this strawweight. She's 5'1 against 5'6 Rodriguez, 65-inch reach for Rodriguez, and 62 for Andrade. Andrade lost to Zhao Nan, who's in the co-main, got knocked out. But Andrade also looked good against Mackenzie Dern by finishing her. Like, Andrade is still – she's a little baby cyborg. She's always a beast. She's a wrecking ball. She's going to bring it. She's going to come straight forward and throw bombs. And if, when Andrade is on her point and looking good, like, she's one of the best in the world. Like, she slammed Thug Rose on her head, finished that fight. I mean, she's had some insane finishes. She's also been finished, gets a little, I don't want to say telegraphed, but, like, kind of, like, predictable with her striking, because she is a little more just come straight forward and throw bombs. And she's a little shorter, smaller. Rodriguez, Marina is a little bit more rangy, probably more technical as far as just Muay Thai, you know, the fluidity of it and putting together combos and doing all that. I mean, I was leaning towards Rodriguez in this fight, and they're both coming off wins, but it's just hard to pick against Andrade. A lot of people were hating on this fight when Dana announced it. A lot of this card period, UFC 300, you know, they were like, oh, come on, this fight, you're going to wait and announce this fight. And I think the UFC kind of handled it a little differently with this card. Like, every single fight, they wanted to announce it, like, as breaking news. And any other time, this fight, anytime Andrade is on the card, or, you know, in the octagon, it's exciting fights. I mean, they're exciting fights. A lot of people don't like women's MMA or whatever, but this is a fighter, Andrade, who always brings it, always has exciting fights. This fight is still kind of 50-50 for me. I mean, it's hard to pick against Andrade. Marina has looked great recently. I mean, I think I'm going to go with, I don't even know what the odds are, but I think I'm going to go, I would have to think Andrade is a favorite. I think I'm going to go with Marina just for the range and just a little bit technically better striking. But if this fight hits the ground, or Andrade could get into the clinch and just kind of bring, you know, make it ugly and make it that type of fight where it is a lot of clinching, a lot of stuff like that, where she can get a hold of her and get into her range where she's throwing a lot of power. Then Andrade, she has some crazy ass cardio too. Like, she don't really get tired. She's coming full blast for all 3 rounds. But I'm leading Rodriguez by a decision if she doesn't get caught with something huge, because Andrade could put pretty much any female's lights out. I mean, and she has so much power, so much explosiveness. And this one might come back to bite me, because I don't know. I'm thinking Rodriguez. I don't got money on any of these fights yet, so I might make some bets, play some bets before fight night. Maybe see what some of the perks are or some parlays or something. Not too much because, like I said, all these fights are almost like anyone's game. Most of these fights are, you know, they could go either way. So, but yeah, I'm going to pick Marina Rodriguez for the – I don't want to see all these decisions, but I think it's going to be a decision win on that one. And, yeah, then – so that's the third fight of the early prelims. Like I'm saying, that fight could definitely be – you know, they could be on an Apex main card. I mean, just the way all this, for sure, it could be. You know, it could be. Could definitely be that way. Yeah, most of these fights are like that, you know, but they're not. And then, okay, so now what we have is Jalen Turner, who's just coming off a devastating knockout win over Bobby Green, fighting Renato Moicano, Money Moicano, kind of short notice for Moicano. I can't remember who Jalen's original opponent was, but nevertheless, this is a good fight with guys with good names. Renato's coming up, you know, like in the social media world, the content creator, and he's got a pretty good take on things. You know, he's got interesting personality, all that. 14-7 for Jalen. 18-5-1 for Renato. Coming up to lightweight, I'm riding high. I mean, Jalen Turner's 6'3", 5'11". Moicano's pretty tall himself, a little skinnier. Like, I stood next to Jalen Turner, you know, in Utah. It was UFC 291, and he was freaking huge. You know, I'm like, how do you make 155? You know, 6'3", he looked like a middleweight, you know, at least. You know, like, it's insane. This is going to be at 155, 156, whatever. 77-inch reach for Jalen, 72 for Moicano, for Money Moicano. And I got to pick Jalen. I mean, I think he's going to finish him. I don't think, like, if he gets to the ground, obviously Moicano, you know, he has his jiu-jitsu game. He might be able to do some stuff there. I don't see him taking down Jalen. Like, if the fight ends up on the ground somehow, then, yeah, maybe. Three rounds, Jalen has shown some slowing down here and there, you know, in some certain fights, like the Dan Hooker fight where he was kind of dominating and then kind of, you know, even though he inflicted more damage, though, even in a loss, you know, it was a split decision. It was a close fight, but he showed a little bit slowing down. Maybe that could happen even in three rounds, but I just see Jalen Turner. He's got to be riding high off that Bobby Green knockout. He's just good everywhere. He's got so much power. We've seen that. No one's ever done that to Bobby Green. I don't see Renato just taking down Jalen Turner, and I don't think he's that easy to deal with on the ground either once you get him there because he's so long. He's got all these long limbs. The Tarantula, perfect nickname because he's just like – he's got limbs everywhere, long limbs for days. So I'm picking Jalen Turner. I'm thinking a finish, second or third round. I'm thinking a TKO. I don't think he subs Moicano, but he could hurt him and maybe do some ground and pound on top. And, I'm Jalen Turner all the way. So that is the prelims. That's the early prelims. That's only the early prelims. I mean, that's better than pretty much every Apex card we've had this year, I think. You know, I mean, it's been a ridiculous run, non-pay-per-view run. You know, for the UFC with these Apex cards, I'm turning into more of a casual because there's just too many fights. I kind of wish they would have like a Tuesday night fight type of thing, or they have it with a contender series, maybe even Thursdays, whatever, and put all these Apex cards on there and just build up every card that actually they have on Saturdays or pay per views, just blow them up. Like every card could be almost like a stacked card like this one. You know, so, I mean, I wish they would kind of do that just because they have gotten big. The roster's huge. There's a lot of people we don't know. But if you're a true fan, then, yeah, you want to see fights in the middle of the week, just like Contender Series, Thursday. I mean, back in the day, you used to have Tuesday night boxing fights. I used to love those. See Roy Jones Jr. I seen Bernard Hopkins. This is way, way back in the day when I was, like, in school, like, you know, middle school and all that. But I think they should do something like that because a lot of these cards are getting watered down, you know. But not this card, obviously. This card's incredible. But so, yeah, that was the early prelims. Now we're going to – OK, Okay, now we're going to talk regular prelims, UFC 300. And this, like I said, this whole card has been stacked. All the early prelims, that could have been, it's better than most of the Apex cards we've been having. But here we go. We're starting off with Sadiq Youssef against Diego Lopez. 13-3, Sadiq coming off a loss. Diego Lopez, 23-6, coming off a win. Slight reach advantage for Lopez, 72.5 for 71. And I'm not going to talk so much about this fight. I'm gonna just go ahead and make my pick. I'm Diego Lopez, unanimous decision. This is going to go another decision. I've already picked some decisions. Hopefully, there's not a lot of decisions on this card. We want to see some finishes. But I do think this card will be a banger. I think Lopez has a little more momentum right now, and he's just kind of dangerous everywhere, good on the ground. You know, I could see it happening. You know, I mean, I could see all this going down the way I can see in his favor. So I'm picking Lopez on this fight. And like I said, I'm not going to talk too much about this one because I don't want to sound like more of a casual than I'm already becoming with all this watered down Apex cards and UFC. The roster is just too big right now. And yeah, that's that. And then that's that fight. That's the opener of the prelims, the regular prelims. And that'll then bring us to... They still don't have a pitcher for Holly Holm. For Kayla Harrison. That's crazy. So that will bring us to Holly Holm, the preacher's daughter, against Kayla Harrison, making her debut not only at 135, but in the UFC. So this fight is going to be basically the coming out party for Kayla if she can make weight. Holly Holm has already came out and said that she won't fight her if she doesn't make weight, which kind of sucks. I wish they could have a backup plan just in case she doesn't make weight. I maybe even did this fight as a catch weight just because her last fight was at 155 in the PFL. She's a two-time PFL champion winner, you know, and now we're fighting 135, which is a huge weight cut, and she is huge. She's jacked. She's like Ronda Rousey if she was a dude almost, you know, just because she's like a more jacked, more explosive two-time Olympic gold medalist in judo. Like, so she's, like I said, a more jacked Ronda. So, I mean, this is going to be one of those fights where we'll see. Holly's like 40, 42 years old now, you know, or something like that. She's getting up there, been in a lot of fights. They're both 5'8", you know, 69-inch reach for Holly against 66 for Kayla, which could come into play, you know, because Holly does have good movement. If she could come in there like the same type of game plan she did against Ronda, that's a long time ago. We're talking, I don't know, almost 10 years ago, where she was able to keep those hips away, those judo hips away. Ronda and Kayla definitely have different styles, I think, of judo. Like, Ronda kind of would just kind of go for the headlock and just toss chicks, armbar. You know, Kayla doesn't really do that as much. She kind of drags girls down and then ground and pounds until they either submit or gives her a submission, or she just finishes it from ground and pound because she's, like I said, she's more jacked, more strong, like, just stronger in the clinch, all that, than Ronda. So, I mean, even though they're both judokas, they have different styles of judo and getting the fight to the ground. Holly, a lot of her fights have been like putting her opponents against a cage and just doing a lot of clinch work, kind of playing it safe, honestly. I'm a big fan of Holly. You know, I think when she is on point and just has that great range and using those quick deer legs and just using a lot of movement, giving her opponent angles, and trying to actually set up, like, hit her head kicks. I mean, her head kick, obviously, when she did a Ronda, that was a head kick heard around the world, basically almost ended Ronda's career, came back for one more fight. But the perfect game plan, that was literally like a perfect, flawless victory against Ronda. Can she replicate that and do that again against Kayla at this juncture of her career? I don't think so. I think Kayla's good. If Kayla makes weight, like we said, this is a big if. I think she takes Holly down and just controls her. Even if she don't finish Holly, Holly's very durable, tough. I mean, she's so much experience in the UFC, 15-6, you know. So, I mean, she has 20. I mean, I don't think all those are in the UFC, but either way, she has a lot of experience and a lot of five-round championship experience as well, either from being a main event or being in the title fights. So, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, Kayla Harrison is going to be able to do what she wants to do. I don't think, like I said, because it's a totally different style, you know, Kayla when she – but I could also see if – Holly can stay on her horse and kind of just keep that distance. Kayla's just going to be chasing her around the cage most of the time and not be able to actually get a hold of her. If she could do that, then I feel like Holly could set her up and pick her apart on the feet easily. Because striking, obviously, there's not going to be any match. Holly Holm's light years ahead of Kayla. Kayla does have to get the clinch and has to take her down and then beat her down on the ground. And that's what I think is going to happen. I still think it's going to be another decision. I think we're going to go a decision on this one, but I'm thinking unanimous for Kayla. I think she's going to be able to get the fight to the ground. Maybe not the whole time, but she's definitely going to use the clinch. She's going to get a hold of her at some point, drag her down, and probably, I don't say beat her up or beat her down, but just do enough to win this fight. It's a good win to open your UFC career against a former world champion. I would like to see Holly, if she can, you know, stay on the outside and pick her apart for sure. If she can do that, avoid the clinch, this is her fight all day, because Kayla, like I said, she's light years behind Holly in the striking, even just footwork and everything. Like I said, if Holly can, you know, use that, use her reach, use her length, use, you know, the footwork to just not even just stay, avoid the clinch, push those hips away. It'd be kind of, like I said, it's a little bit different for Kayla. She has a totally different style than Ronda. You know, she's going to get right in your face and try to get a body lock, drag you down, whatever she has to do to get the takedowns. And I'm picking Kayla to have a successful debut. Then again, though, we got to keep in mind, if she's cutting way more weight than she normally cuts, so she might not be the same herself. You know, is she going to be as strong on fight night as she normally is? She's going to be a little drained. I don't know if the UFC just kind of threw this a curveball because Kayla has been talking up so much and wanting to be in the UFC. And I don't know if they, you know, a lot of times UFC does throw them to the wolves as soon as they come in, you know, from other organizations. They don't give them the most favorable matchups, but this is an older Holly Holm and does a lot more clinch work herself. You know, she's pretty well. She does a pretty good defensive job and offensive up against the cage and the clinch game. But yeah, ultimately, I'm going to pick Kayla to get this job done. I think her biggest opponent is going to be the scale, just making it to this fight, because she might have to cut off freaking half her arm to get there. I don't know, because she's big. She's thick. She's jacked, and it's going to be a lot harder for her to make this weight. But she signed on the contract. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm praying that this fight actually does happen, or at least they have a backup plan, because I know Holly already, like, she already came out and said she already pulled out of a fight before for her opponent missing weight. She's not going to do it, not at this stage in her career anyway. So, yeah, that's that. That's the second fight on the regular prelims. And, yeah, see, all these fights, man, they could be on this. They could be their bangers. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Banger cards. You got Calvin Kattar against Aljamain Sterling, the Funk Master. His first fight, his debut at featherweight, 145 pounds after losing his last fight to Sean O'Malley at bantamweight, Luna's title. I mean, he's another guy with a crazy weight cut, comes down from like 170, 175 he was getting down to bantamweight at 135. He's a jack guy himself, a lot of muscle, all that. So he's going to, now he don't have to cut as much. He might be stronger. Maybe the chin will be a little better too, because he kind of seemed like he does get rocked in fights. Sean O'Malley put him out, or didn't put him out cold, but dropped him. Jan dropped him before, so I mean, he has been dropped. He's been knocked out at 135, but I'm thinking his chin will be a little better at 145, maybe a lot better, because he's not killing himself to make the weight. And then you have Calvin Kattar, though. I mean, he's coming off a loss. Both of you guys are coming off losses. Calvin Kattar hasn't fought for a while. He had an injury. I think it was when he fought Arnold Allen. He had an injury in that fight. 23-7 for Kattar, 23-4 for Aljo, and 5'11", which is kind of big, you know, against 5'7" for Aljo. And but the reach is not that much of a difference. Kattar 72-inch, Aljo 71. I do like the Funk Master. I do. He has a funky style on the feet. Obviously, if this fight goes to the ground, it's Aljo all day. He's probably going to take his back and choke him out. But Kattar has a sick jab. He has great boxing. Yeah, you know, the volume of Max Holloway didn't make him look so great. But Kattar he's legit, man. He's got really good takedown defense as well. Aljo hasn't always been able to get the takedown. He wasn't able to take down O'Malley. So for him to be able to take down Kattar, it could be a tall order, but he might be a lot stronger at 145. You know, for sure he should be, chin-wise and just everything-wise, you know, grappling wise, but I'm going with the upset here. A lot of people are sleeping on Kattar. I'm going Calvin Kattar. His jab is sick. I mean, he's going to keep that jab in Aljo's face, and that's gonna disrupt the timing of Aljo. He's not going to be able to just dive in for takedowns when he's getting jabbed in the face. He's not going to be able to do his funky style. It's going to throw his timing off big time. And I feel like Kattar has a better chin. You know, Max isn't always the biggest puncher, but when you get hit, like, the UFC record of shots getting cracked, I mean, I don't know how many punches it was. It was ridiculous. And still be able to be there and throwing bombs, throwing back. I feel like Kattar, he might get a TKO in this. If he could hurt Aljo in the feet, he could finish him. You know, if this goes to the ground, like I said, any type of clinch game, Aljo all day, he'll take his back and choke him out. But Kattar has shown good takedown defense. I think he has his jabs enough to keep the fight standing. And if he can catch Aljo early with that jab, set the pace, Aljo might get desperate for the takedowns. If he can't figure out how to get past Kattar's length and jab, you know, he's gonna have a tough time getting this fight to the ground, because then it'll become like a little too predictable and telegraph takedowns, like he kind of did in the first fight against Jan. Started to get a little desperate. This is only a 3-round fight, so I don't see either guy getting gas, and they both have 5-round capabilities. But I'm going with Kattar for the upset. I'm thinking second round TKO. And obviously, if that doesn't happen, I always got to hedge my picks, but I could see Aljo choking him out as well. If this goes decision, I'm kind of thinking it's Kattar as well, just probably piecing him up from the outside. But it's interesting fight to see how Aljo does at featherweight at 145. You know, that he's grown into his body. Like I said, it's less of a weight cut. He should have a better chin. Maybe Kattar won't put him out, but I could see him touching him up on the feet for sure. And a lot of people, like I said, are sleeping on Kattar. I mean, he's definitely a durable guy. He definitely has great boxing, you know, has really good boxing. And, I think he's going to put it on Aljo on this fight. So that's my pick. I'm picking that one. And, So that's 3 fights in now. 2-3 into the prelims. Okay, that'll bring us to the featured bout of the prelims. And this is going to be a light heavyweight bout with the always dangerous, always exciting Jiří Procházka against Alexander Rakic. And I have a feeling Rakic is going to grapple a lot more in this fight and might make it more of a technically, I don't want to say boring fight, but I mean, I don't think a lot of people wanted to stand and bang with Jiří. You know, not everybody has Alex Pereira's, you know, left hook from hell, you know, or his leg kicks. I mean, but Jiří coming off that loss against Pereira, early stoppage or not, his legs were getting damaged. He did get cracked. He did get dropped. And I just 6-3 for Jiří. Both these guys are some big guys. 6-4 against Alexander Rakic. 80-inch reach for Jiří, so he's got some long arms, and he has that unconventional style where he's switching stances constantly, throwing from the hip, throwing, keeping his hands down, kind of in your face, that little ponytail or whatever you want to call that, bobbing around, you know, moving around and doing that. And he's very dangerous. He can always end the fight at any time. He stays dangerous pretty much throughout the fight as well. But I kind of have a feeling this is Rakic. This is a matchup thing, and I think Rakic is going to beat him. And it's probably going to be another decision, man. Now that I'm looking at this card, I mean, for as great as this card is, there might be a lot of decisions on this card. I'm hoping not, but I think this might be another decision, like a split or unanimous decision for Rakic. In a 3-rounder, they might come out banging in that first fight. I think Alexander Rakic is a more technical striker, like Muay Thai style, so I think he can, you know, pick apart. If he could take a page out of Pereira's book with the leg kicks and just throwing a better jab out there, keeping himself safe defensively, I think he could definitely, maybe he could finish Procházka. Like, he's not the easiest guy to finish either, even though Pereira, like I said, it was kind of an early stoppage, but he did get dropped. So it's kind of tough to say. He's hittable, is what I'm saying. Even with the head movement and everything down, he kind of get pieced up a bit, but I'm going to pick Rakic by just a decision, another decision. I think this goes all 3 rounds. I could totally, Jiří could knock out anybody. He could probably knock out a horse if he hits him flush. I mean, he definitely has the power to do that. But I'm going to pick Rakic. And that basically is the end. That's the last of the prelims right there. So like that fight, that even the prelims on this card, like I said, in the early prelims and the prelims, both these guys can be main events and the Apex for sure. Like better than most of the main events that we've been having at the Apex. And that's just, I don't know. Like, I want to see more cards just stacked as far as the pay-per-views. I know 301, they brought back Jose Aldo for that one, you know, because they were kind of light in the card, so light with it. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. We got Alex Bahia trying to even talk about if he does make quick work of Jamal Hill, then he's going to turn around and go to UFC 301 in Brazil, which they're originally going to fight at, but I'll get to that when I get to the main card. And, yeah, that was that. Those are my prelim picks.